Well, we're going to share something this morning, which most of you don't know about, and the board members do. This was definitely an interesting week for me. Actually, it was a very miraculous week, but it's one of those things that a miracle doesn't come because, man, everything was running great. according to the doctors, I shouldn't be here today, and I mean not on the earth. I shouldn't be here, but I'm here. Hallelujah. Anyhow, we had, it was interesting. I mean, late Monday night, I had gotten some pain in the right side of my, right here, you know, in my chest, right here on this side, and the right side, I got some pain. And so, you know, for a period of time, I was sort of standing against it, started doing well, and the pain just got really severe. When I'm talking severe, I'm talking about severe pain. Really got bad. So anyhow, you know, I got to the point. I wasn't being able to grab a hold of a controller. I couldn't do it. And I said to the Lord, I said, "What should I do?" And it just came up inside of me. You know what to do. And so I went in. It was, I think it was 1:11 a.m. been Tuesday morning, and it would have been Tuesday at that time. And I went and said to Wanda, "You got to take me to the hospital." I said, "We got to go." And the pain just increased and got worse and worse as time went on. I mean, it was just very difficult to even get dressed to go into the hospital. And she asked me if I wanted an ambulance, and I knew an ambulance got there and that stuff and got me out. Let's go to the hospital. And the drive within was terrible for me. I mean, pain was, and sitting down just made it worse. And so, believe me, I wasn't laughing then. The only reason I wasn't crying, because I knew this, if I cried, it was going to be worse. Because, I realized what was going on is when I would breathe, the pain would even increase. And if I held my breath, it subsided a slight bit. But you got to keep breathing if you want to live. So so it wasn't working out well at all. And so I got to the hospital. And anyhow, till they got me inside and stuff, is like, you know, and they did it in a pretty quick time. You know, they're, you know, but, you know, to me, it seemed like very long time, because I was in really severe pain. And till we got in, and they had put us in a room, and we were waiting for a doctor to come in. And I was sitting on a table. I couldn't lay down, and I finally found a position I could sort of get a little bit of rest at, where I could sort of get things a little under control. But my big thing was listening on the inside. There's one thing I've learned over the years, you've heard me say about this. I have never been in a situation where I've really been, you know, real problems. The Lord hasn't spoken to me. Never have been in one. Even though all this noise is going on in my body, I've learned over the years to learn how to turn to the inside. And as number one, you do that by starting to do something spiritual. Most people don't. They just keep doing something physical. That's why they don't hear. You got to start doing spiritual things. And so I started doing spiritual things. I just started there, just under my breath, sitting there praising God. I just started, I sure didn't feel like praising God. But I just start thanking God for the Holy Ghost. And he's called the Comforter. And I just kept saying, "Boy, he's just giving me comfort." Now, I didn't feel like I had any comfort at all. But he's giving me comfort. He's giving me comfort. And then inside of me, it said, "Don't be concerned about a thing. Everything's going to be fine." Those are the words that came to me. Everything's going to be fine. Well, once I heard once he said that, I had no concern about anything after that. Well, what they did is they began to do a lot of running tests. They started running tests. They ran a lot of different tests because they couldn't find it. First, they thought I was having a gallbladder attack. And so they did ultrasound, checked my gallbladder. They checked my pancreas. They checked my liver. And they said, "They're all good." So then they didn't know what to go from there. Then they thought, "Well, I might have pneumonia," because sometimes pneumonia can cause anything that damages a lung. Some can cause some real problems. And so anyhow, they checked for pneumonia, and I didn't have pneumonia. And so the last thing that they did check for, then they came in and said, "We're going to shoot some dye into you and take you and give you a CAT scan of your upper chest area. We want to find out what's going on here." And when they did, they come back and said this. They said, "You have a blood clot in your lungs," which really they can't do anything about it. There's nothing it can do about that, because most people are dead that have that happen. And the fact that I'm laying there talking to them. Actually, what it was, I found out they did that last check for a blood clot in my lungs because most people are already dead that have a blood clot in their lungs. So there, you don't usually check for that first when you go in. So they said you had that. I did find out something interesting that people always say about this. If you get a blood clot, they give you blood thinners to dissolve the clot. No, they don't, because they don't, blood thinners don't dissolve clots. They don't do that. The clot has to dissolve naturally. And they said to me, the blood clot's in your lung. It's going to have to dissolve naturally. They said, just like if you got a bruise in your skin where the blood comes under the skin and clots, they said, eventually it dissolves on its own and is absorbed into the tissue and stuff around it and goes away. And they said, that's exactly what you're going to have here. So I found this out. They didn't save my life or do anything to help my life. They didn't do any of that. They couldn't do anything. There was nothing they could do. So they got over on the things of, they had given me pain medication. They gave me some morphine for pain, which was really good. I didn't like it. I said, man, this stuff makes your head feel weird. I don't like it. It makes your head feel weird. And the doctor said, yeah, well, that's the whole thing about morphine. She said, morphine doesn't do anything about the pain. It's what it does to your brain so you don't notice the pain. He said, that's what it does. He said, it don't have anything to do with the pain. I said, I don't know. I said, I realize that, but it just, I just don't like that feeling when your mind's, up there fuzzy. But I just stayed in contact with God. You can still stay in contact on the inside. But I had no fear or no worry about anything going on. And so then they told me, they said, we got to put you in a room. We want to, because what they wanted to do, they wanted to make sure that I didn't get another blood clot. They wanted to put some blood thinners in me to make sure that nothing else happened, which I really appreciate. They did what they could do, but really there was things that they couldn't do. And so it sort of really got really strange after that, because I was in the hospital only overnight, which was hard for them to understand. because they took me and put me, in a room, and the doctors come in, and first thing a doctor says to me, you're really healthy. He said, you don't even have much of a medical history. He said, you don't have nothing wrong with you. And so I thought it was interesting. But they wanted to check some things out. There's one thing is getting a blood clot in the lung. They wanted to do an echocardiogram because lots of times people don't just die from the blood clot. It's because of the heart damage. Your heart starts going into overtime trying to work to compensate where the lung ain't working. And what happens? You end up with heart damage and probably heart failure over the thing. So anyhow, they just wanted to check my heart, make sure my heart was good. They were listening to it, said it sounded all right. They wanted to look at it. So, and then I got to see my heart. So number one, see, I've seen my heart. I know I got one. I don't care what you say. I've seen mine. And anyhow, so what they turned around, I got to watch it, and they found that, they said, your heart's great. Well, I remember laying there, and I was laying in bed, and they came right into the room, and they do it. They didn't haul you off to a room, and they just do it right in the room. And they were doing it there, and I'm getting to watch it on the screen. And I was thinking about the whole time, because the girl was talking to me, and she said, oh, here's your heart valve. She's showing me each one of my heart valves and how it's working, and everything's going through. And I thought, there wasn't any muscle damages. There's no kind of damage. The valves are all good. And I thought about for back when I had a heart attack, because I've never had an echocardiogram. Well, there's nothing wrong with my heart. My heart is completely good. Hallelujah. So we went through all that. And then so we stayed overnight on Tuesday night. And then Wednesday morning, they were getting around about things. And I don't know, I just sort of felt they didn't have much to talk about, or what they didn't know what to do. Because the one of the cardiologists, he kept coming into the room and talking to me about going home, and he kept saying to me, I thought, this is weird. He keeps saying to me, what do you want to do? I thought, I never met a doctor ever ask anybody what they wanted to do. They're always telling you what they want you to do. And he goes, what do you want to do? I said, what you're doing here, I could do anywhere. I could do it in the backseat of the car, said, because they're not really doing anything. All they gave me some blood thinners, and I mean, they really can't do anything. And I said, I'm going to go home. And he said, wow, you feel all right? Everything okay? I said, yeah. Well, see, I had asked them too, because I said, I had planned on going out to next week. I said I was going to go out to Branson. I said, what about going out to Branson? And the head of cardiology, the guy that was on the shift that night on Tuesday, you know, he talked to me and he said, well, I don't see, he says, there's nothing from a health standpoint why you couldn't go. See, this is strange. I mean, I'm supposed to be a dead guy. They go, I don't know what to do with this thing. Hallelujah. Anyhow, so they finally let me go home, and I'm going out. I just feel absolutely fine. And glory to God. And so one of the things, though, is I look back, because one of the things is perspective-wise is, well, I did the following day on Thursday, I had a doctor's appointment, and they wanted to see me when I got out, and they want a family doctor to see you right away to make sure to check certain things. And so it's one thing to do, and I mean, I went. I just sat down. But the first thing that the doctor did is she looked at me, and she said, first, she's looking over what they did to me, and she looks at me, and she said, well, somebody must want you here. And I said, yeah. She said, you shouldn't be here. She said, most people that have what you have aren't here anymore. Said, well, praise God. You got one that's here. Hallelujah. So we're here. But, you know, I started to look, you know, really God was working in preparation and preparing me. This is one of the things, because when I look back at different things that were going on, about a month ago, in fact, it wasn't about me. I was praying about, with others. For others concerning, you know, here in the body, and also we had got concerning our one grandson who's adopted from the Philippines. He was adopted. He had a cleft palate, and they were doing things. They put these things in their mouth to help expand it so they can eventually do the operations and do the things to take care of that. And he'd had some difficulty, and so praying for him, It you know, usually we think about praying for others. We not necessarily always go over and just go to the Word, but it just came up in me as praying for them is start listening back over to healing scriptures and going back over healing scriptures. And so I got Kenneth Hagin's, I just really led to do it. So I got Kenneth Hagin's, I have it on an MP3. Originally I have a tape, and I might even still have the tape. They put them on the CDDs. It's him reading healing scriptures, and then he expounds somewhat on them, talks about being redeemed from the curse of the law and things. And it's a little over an hour recording, and I started going back over listening to that. I started repeating it. I'd listen to it and listen to it again, the scriptures, and then I got a sense to go over and listen to some other things that I have. I have a series that is about like 24. Series that Brother Hagin did years ago, back in the 70s, on healing. And I went back over and started listening to them. And so for the past month, I've been just listening to a lot of healing stuff, just filling myself with it. And I was laying in the hospital, and I just thought about that. I thought, you know, God got me back over. This has been, you know, sometimes we can be unconsciously led. And this is where you have to learn. Many times you get a sense to do something, and you let it bypass you. And many times you need to learn to follow that sense in you to do that, to take the time to do it. I didn't have no voice, big voice speak to me and tell me, but I just got a sense in me that I ought to do that. And I followed it. And I'm sure glad, because, you know, I didn't, you know, that those things, if anything is going to make you stand steady, is going to be the Word of God. You know, if you need spiritual help, you need divine help, you need to be able to hook up in the spirit realm, because you can't get it in the natural realm. It ain't there. So you need to be able to hook up with it. I appreciate on Wednesday, Mike gave me a call, and the Lord gave him a word for me from the scriptures. And, you know, I thought it was really interesting. I thought, this must be God, because Mike said it was from Nahum. Now, most Christians don't even know there's a book in the Bible called Nahum. and surely the ones that even know it there never read it. So when Mike said God gave him a scripture from Nahum, I thought, this got to be God. And it was. I mean, you know, it was God speaking. See, people listen to the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's what we got to do is listen, you know. Hallelujah. Another thing that I really appreciate with my wife, Wanda did really good, you know. She didn't panic about nothing. She didn't. I tell you, to her, it was more, you know, she was taking me. I had a cold and going to the doctor. She didn't panic. She just stayed cool the whole time through the whole thing. And I appreciate that. There is nothing worse than you having a problem and you have problem people with you. There ain't nothing worse than panic people in a situation. And to me, that was a huge, I was just so glad. I was so glad. Hallelujah. Because I've watched it already. I've watched the people who have the problem are trying to babysit the person that don't have a problem. Trying to babysit them. And so anyhow, hallelujah. So here I am. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Faith, you know, I'm not here because, you know, I'm special. That isn't what makes any difference to it. It's not because I'm a pastor and, you know, God needs me more than somebody else. And it's by faith in the Word of God. As you learn to stand, hallelujah. Acting on the Word of God, listening. Mike's mentioned this morning about being led by the Spirit. There's nothing absolutely more important. So when the Lord told me back in 1980, February 1980, and said, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. I'll tell you today, that's more important to me than anything, because I always keep that in my forefront. Number one, I want to hear what God's saying. I have a lot of ideas, I have a lot of things that I think, and I have a lot of things, but I want to know what God's saying about it. Because in any kind of situation, you want to hear if God's saying anything, you want to hear it. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing. When the Lord spoke to me in that room in the ER, that settled the whole thing. That just settled it all. There ain't a thing to be concerned about. There ain't a thing, you know. I know I got a hold of this thing. I understand it. And you have to have that. Praise God. You got to come to that place. And hallelujah, that's when you can smile again. Glory to God. Because you'll never have it. You ain't going to have it until you know. Hallelujah. You won't be able to do that. Glory to God. Well, we're going to have communion this morning. We're talking about some things. One of the things is the Lord said to me this morning about really is having a healing service. And now, you know, it's really concerning communion because, and really as we're dealing with healing, we're going to deal with the Word of God concerning healing. This is one of the things, especially, you know, being led by the Spirit. We talk about the Spirit is seeing and knowing. I just thank God. I thank God to be able to hear. I thank God for the gifts of the Holy Ghost that manifest, that help us along. You know, just like Mike listening to the Spirit of God and gets a word of encouragement for me. You know, sometimes things don't always come to you directly. They're somebody else. You know, this is one of the things, you know, many people want to hear something, but they never listen to anything to tell anybody else anything. You pay attention. You know, I've learned this. You reap what you sow in life. I know people that never minister to anybody else usually have a hard time ever getting ministered to. They don't ever put nothing out. They don't listen to God for anybody else. It's really, I'm praying for other people a month ago, and the Lord concerning healing, and the Lord prompts me to go over, because I'm over here praying about others, prompts me to go over in the areas and start to get into the areas of healing. I will guarantee you, there's nobody has ever left this earth and God wasn't trying to warn them about him. That's never happened on the face of the earth. That's never happened. God's always given warnings. Always. God is the lifesaver. God will always try to save your life. He'll always try to save your life. Always. He'll always do that. He'll always do whatever he can to save your life. You know, understand, he's on your side. You're his kids. He's not silent when things happen to you. He's not silent. Usually the problems is, and I know it over the years, at times I was too noisy. He wasn't silent. Many times I got into situations and things happened when I stopped and I think, you know, God was trying to get a hold of me. I could see it. He was trying to get a hold of me. Ed wasn't paying attention. You ever been there? If you ain't ever been there and come to that conclusion, you probably don't hear God hardly ever at all. You're probably pretty dead spiritually. I've had numbers of occasions where they come up and I thought, oh, my words, I should have paid attention to what was happening. Hallelujah. One thing we want to look at, we were over in Romans last week in Romans 8. We're going to go back there, share some things, and there's some other things that I want to share to you. The Lord, I mean, this morning, gave to me this morning. I wasn't necessarily going to do it, some things I was going over, but he wants to talk about concerning healing and health for people. Is to listen to this, but number one is God's intent. We want to get this into yourself. That we're going to talk about the difference. We're going to talk about some things here with physical healing and with divine healing. And because if you can't differentiate and being able to operate in the two and understand the difference, you're always going to be very limited. Especially from the divine point. When we deal with divine healing, we're dealing with the miraculous. We're dealing with the miraculous. We're not dealing with physical. Doctors don't have divine healing. They don't have it to give. They can't give it to you. They can't give it to you. They have not. Doctors don't do any miracles. They operate within the ordinary course of nature. They operate within the laws of nature. That's where they operate. Doctors are not gifts from God. They are not gifts from God. If you feel and think that way, you're going to be limited concerning the divine, and you're going to be limited in how you're ever going to get healed or what's ever going to happen to you. You know, it's just like, well, are auto mechanics divine? Are they divine gifts? Well, if they would, you know. See, we have these kinds of things we say, and we say we do. Now, thank God people do. But you know what? This is one thing is people talk about gifting. The Bible specifically tells us what gifts God gives. Tells us specifically. Anybody talking outside that is talking their own religious beliefs and has nothing to do with Christianity. You didn't become what you are today naturally or doing what you know because God gifted you. You had to learn to do it. You didn't get a special gift to do it. You know, I was trained in electronics. I didn't have a natural gift to electronics. I had to go to schools and learn it. I had to go through this. I remember Tiger Woods saying this. You know, he's talking to a reporter, talks to him and said, boy, you just have a natural gift. And he said, the reporter, he says, it's amazing all the time of training and stuff I got to go through to have this natural gift. Because they found out about him that he practiced about twice as much as any other golfer. And they wonder why in his heyday he was so good. Because he worked at it more than anybody else. It wasn't a special gift. If anybody got a special gift, a doctor, and God gave the gift, would you have to go to college to make it work? This is why Christians can't get healed. It's because they believe this nonsense. You know, certain people got special gifts, and they're special this, and they're special that. No, most people belong in special ed. That's where they belong. Because they think, stupid. You can learn to train to do about anything you want. You can learn and train to do it. You can work at it. My words, I mean, if I look at my life and all the things that I trained and learned to do over the years, when I was in the military and everything else, I learned all the things that I went through and learned and trained to do. I wasn't gifted in none of them. Had to get educated at it. You know, God might lead you over to do a certain thing, but you're going to have, in the natural, you're going to have to work at it. Now, you can learn to yield to spiritual things to enhance you in an area, but that don't make you special gifted. Hallelujah. You got to work. You got to special. It's one thing to see. I found the difference between a gift. When I got the gift to teach, boy, there's something happened in me. Now, I learned to work with that gift and do things. But you know what? That gift did things outside of what Ed Gibson could ever do or his training. I didn't have to train to do it. The gift worked to do it. The gift started working to do things. I didn't have to go to college. You know, I didn't go to Bible school to get a gift. I didn't go there because I had to go to Bible school, and you know this, and they had to train me so I knew what I had to give. I went to Bible school to learn the Word. Because the more I learned the Word, the more I could operate in my gift. And so we got to get over here and get thinking correctly. Now in Romans 8, we talked about, and this is all part of renewing the mind. We were talking about that last week. Let me quick read through this in Romans 8, verse 5. Through 9, it says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh," verse 5. "But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." So we know this. Whichever direction you're going, if you live according to the flesh, your mind's going to be set there. If you live according to the Spirit, your mind's going to be set there. So we can tell this. You can tell this. If we as an individual are more fleshly oriented, we know this. We live more that way, so our mind gets set on it. Number one, you can't train your mind to be spiritual and live in the flesh, because your mind's going to follow whatever walk you take. You know, it's sort of like somebody going to school to train to be a certain thing, and over here and don't ever putting that into practice, you know, they just keep wanting to be something else and doing something else and not practicing at that, whatever it is they want to be. You're going to have to start to implement that whatever it is that you're doing, you got to put it into work and into practice. That will turn around and perfect a person in it. Your walk, your Christian walk, is how you live. This is one thing you and I have to do. We need to understand it. There's no gift that makes you a good walk in Christian life. Everybody's on the same thing. It takes work to do it. It's labor. You have to learn to walk this life. You have to learn to do things. You have to learn to conduct yourself in certain ways. And you got to learn to do that. If you'll set your mind over onto spiritual things, it'll help you renew your mind. You can't renew your mind just by getting the words in there and then practicing other stuff. That'll never work. It'll never change anything. Hallelujah. For what you gain and learn, you must put it into practice. Strong faith does not come from reading the Word, from studying the Word, or the Word preached. Strong faith comes from practice of the Word. The more you practice the Word, the more results you'll have of it, the stronger your faith will become. You will not get strong. You can't listen to me preach and you get strong faith. That will not happen. That's why so many Christians are lazy. They sit and think, if I just keep listening and I just keep getting seminared and I just keep doing this, and it ain't going to work. It ain't happening. You're going to have to put to work the Word. You have to do it. You know, it's just like, you know, a doctor goes to school, he learns all this stuff. You know what? They don't send him paychecks till he works it. Christians all want the paycheck. We all want the paycheck with no work. We want the paycheck of faith. Well, it doesn't happen like that. The paycheck comes by first. See, we have a welfare church today, and it's been running for a long time. It's a welfare church. And it's been a bunch of fat, lazy people sitting around just going to listen to the Word, ain't practicing it, and they want to have strong faith. It doesn't happen. You know? Like with me, I'm very repetitive about them. I'm repetitive on things. It just, you know, I said to Wanda about through this thing, I said, remember when I started going back and listening to the Word, I said, does Kenneth Hagin, you know, listen to him over and over? She said, yeah, yeah, because I'd have him in the car. I'd be playing that while we would go to Bible study and drive up to Bible study, listening to Kenneth Hagin read scriptures on healing. I'd be listening to him, going back and forth, listening to those things. Every chance I got an opportunity, I'd be listening to those things over and over and over and over, getting them in me. And then you start practicing, you start saying those things, not saying anything else. I'll tell you, I was so glad. I was so glad. Well, now the only, I had told the board members, they knew that I was in the hospital, which number one, I was absolutely fine. But next to me, we had some, well, Christian guys. Now, they were, you know, very religious people, you know, very religious. But I thought about it. He was in the hospital before I got there, and he was still there when I left. But he's over there, and he has a lot of his church people. The church people are coming in and out to see them. And you know what? They might as well took him out back and shot him, the bunch of idiots. All of them himself. Never one time did I ever hear them. All the church people come. Nobody ever prayed. Nobody ever said anything. I never heard the word God mentioned, much less Jesus. And all they ever did was come in and talk about sickness. That's all they did. They came in and they would talk, well, you hear about so-and-so. And they'd be over there talking about something. I thought, dear Lord, God, strike these people with lightning. Give this poor man a break sitting over here. But I thought with him, here he is a Christian. He's sitting over, just sitting around, not doing. Don't have a Bible, you know. Don't have a Bible. He don't, you know. Got my Bible right away. The Word is life and health to all your flesh. And you know, you want to encourage yourself. You want to have something decent to do. Well, you know, they're over there, you know, they don't believe in watching TV, but they believe in sitting there the whole time and talking to everybody. All they did, I must have heard 47 stories about people that had heart failures, and this and that. I mean, just, my God, that's all they did is came in and talked that nonsense. And they just did it all the time. And they just marched in, you know, two or three at a time doing it. And my God, I was only in the hospital one day. Dear Lord. That poor man's been in there doing this probably for a week or so. They're Christians. They don't realize this. They are as carnal as the world is carnal. They are totally fleshly as much as somebody watching porn or anything else. They're doing 100% by the flesh. And see, you need to understand that. I mean, they're doing nothing spiritually. But they want, you know, they want this poor guy to get better. You know, there ain't enough medicine in the world to fix this stuff. And people need to get it. I mean, these are the Christians coming in there, friends and family going to come and tell you a horror story. Glory to God! Isn't it exciting? Verse 6: For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Is what you're talking about, what you're doing, is it bringing life and peace, or what's it bringing? Life and peace. Spiritually minded. Hallelujah. Well, he says, because what? The carnal mind is an enemy against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. It cannot be subject to the law. We talk about this. What law of God? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It cannot be subject to it. You cannot have a carnal mind and be subject to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There's only one way to do that, and that's by being spiritual. Doing spiritual things will put you in contact with the law of the Spirit of life. That's what you want to hook up to. The law of the Spirit of life. There's a law that runs. You hook up to that and you will have life working in you. Now, look, but we'll go on to read here with this because this is so important. He said, but you, he said, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So in other words, God's living in you. Now, if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. But now listen to this. And if Christ is in you, this is what it says. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. See, the body is dead because of sin. In other words, sin has worked death in the human body. That's why our human body, as it is in its state, cannot go to heaven because it's dead in sin. We were born with that sin nature, and it killed the outer man. So the outer man needs redeemed. And praise God, God has a plan for our outer redemption. We will have one, a new body. But it's dead. But now, understand, this doesn't mean, oh man, boy, what am I stuck with this? No, there is something miraculous because look what says here. It says, so then, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also what? Give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit that dwells in you. Do you hear that? You see, the body is dead because of sin. The Spirit, there's life because of righteousness. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of righteousness. You have righteousness in you. You were born again in righteousness. The Holy Spirit is living inside of you. Your spirit has been created in righteousness. The Holy Spirit is inside of you right now. And His job is in there is to give life to your mortal body. In other words, that death that has been dominating and ruling, bringing death to the body, that should be stopped or slowed down by the life that's in you. See, when people talk, Christians say, well, you know, God lives in us. 99.9% of the Christians have no revelation on that. they just say those words. If you know that God lives inside of you, you should have a lot of life going on in you, in your body. Sickness and disease should not be the norm. It should be abnormal. So one thing is I got from Ken, I've been listening over these things, some things that Ken and Hagin preached years ago, like I said, back in the 70s. One of the things that he talked about Smith's Wigglesworth, he talked about John G. Lake and different ones, and he said this. He said, listen, he had listened to them and read things of theirs, and he said, concerning this scripture I just read to us, the Spirit given life, he said, they seem to have had revelation in this area we ain't got. He said, just like Wigglesworth, you know, 23 people raised from the dead under his ministry and the different things concerning those people in ministry. They had revelation. John G. Lake's phenomenal, phenomenal ministry. Phenomenal. And you go over there. What? That don't happen. He ain't Mr. Special. Why are not other people rising up? It's because of not getting revelation. See, we're all, yes, you know, yeah, God lives in me. Most people can't even hear him, must not let him get any benefit from it. If I can't hear from God, what's the chance I'm going to get any life going on in me? Look, everything from the spirit realm for you to get benefit of, you must be able to hook up to it by faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You need revelation. You need to sit down and it becomes real to you that the God, the Holy Ghost is inside of you making you alive. Christians trying to get healed. No Christian should ever be trying to get healed. Healing should be the norm for the Christian. Life and health should be norm for the Christian. It should be normal. Look, I'm not saying this in criticism. I just think a lot of things have been taught really poorly. And a lot of people, you know, and especially in these last days, I mean, we've turned around and messed things up in concerning teaching and how we do things, trying to keep people happy instead of taking people to a level, because why? It'll make you uncomfortable to have to try to go here. You can't live or think the way you do and go to this place. You must be changed. Man, I said, God, I need changed. I want to go and I want to walk in this place. Not sometime, thank God. I mean, God's gotten me back into places that I walked in before that I'm walking in now and taking steps beyond it. But it's sitting down and listening to things until I get a hold of it, till I want to know. I don't want to just quote some scriptures. I want those scriptures to become life in me that change me. I need to be changed. If what I'm believing is not changing me, it's worthless. It's of no value. It's only valuable if it works. That's like having money, you know. That's like having Confederate money in your wallet and having a whole ton of it, but you can't buy a thing with it. What's the point of having it? And this is Christian. Christians walk around with their bags of scriptures and they're walking around and it's worthless because it produces nothing. It's not spendable. Kenneth Hagin said this, I'd rather have two scriptures that I could believe and do than know 1,000 of them. And he's right. Because the two that you know, that you can walk in, you can get benefit from. There's only one reason to be a Christian is to get benefit from God, because God is the benefiter. He's the one who wants to benefit. He is the benefactor of all benefactors. God is not withholding anything from anybody. If you don't have what God wants, He has nothing to do with that. It's 100% us. Until you settle that fact, you keep looking over at God in any way as somehow, well, He don't do this because blah, 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 blah. You just preached yourself out of God's blessing. Don't you do that. I may have lack of knowledge, but that ain't God's fault. That means I must go after knowledge. You know, the apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, you know, that, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you don't go after and study the word, I guarantee you, you're going to end up ashamed. Because you're going to try to make a stand and you're going to fall. The day that you need something to work, it ain't going to work. You want to come to the place where it works. I thank God when I needed it, It worked. And this ain't the first time. When bad trouble comes, there's one thing as I know. I know how to make it work. I know how to stand. I know how to fight the good fight of faith. I ain't bragging on me. It's Jesus. All you do is practice what he said. That's all you got to do is what he said. That's it. He didn't make it different for me or anybody else. But you know, I learned, as I've said to you guys here, you know, when Brother Hagin said that he listened, that he always, every day, meditated on some healing scriptures every day. And I thought, well, Brother Hagin does, Ed sure needs to do that. I thought, well, you know, he had good success in the area of divine health and walking and things. Well, then he must be doing something right by doing it. Most Christians, I tell you guys that, most of you never do it. You never do it. So don't be surprised you don't get the same thing that he gets, that he had. You ain't gonna. I'm going to tell you what, most of you right here have no idea how important healing is to God. You have no clue. It's on the top, one of the things on the top of his agenda, your health. And we've relegated it to mere men. We've relegated to people to take care of our health. Whew. Here he goes again. Now, I'm telling you, it is. It's because the way we've been taught. See, healing's this nice little secondary thing that goes on out here, you know. All the best, worst thing I did was, you know, got saved. But we're going to look at what Scripture says about this, because the Scripture don't teach that. That's the ideas and philosophies of men. When I started off, this is one of the things that I learned about divine health was because of learning immediately at the time that I started off how important it was for me to be well. You folks have heard me say this, and I want to say it today, and I want you to understand, because I'm going to prove it, it's true from the Scriptures. Kenneth Hagin made this statement, and I said, when first time I heard him say it, it just sort of floored me. I was a baby Christian. He said, it ain't a sin to get sick, but it's a sin to stay sick. We don't look at sin, as sickness being a sin problem. We don't look at it. That's why we don't deal with it as being important. That's why we don't look at it as something that's important to God. If it's a sin problem, then we know Jesus dealt with a sin problem. He dealt with that. And if he dealt with that, that means that's important to him. That's important on the top of his agenda. See, when I first started off, you know, I heard that. Boy, that thing sounds hard. But then as I started learning in the Word, I thought, you know, this man's right about this thing. He sees this thing from a whole different... See, most people, this is what they do. They hear that, they get offended. And you know what? Then they spend the rest of their life getting sick and having problems getting healed, and because they don't get it at all. They're on their nice little fleshly level of listening and walking and living in the flesh, and you touch them on over into something spiritual, and they ain't got a clue. They don't like to be touched in that area, because I don't live there. The spirit realm makes me uncomfortable. I tell you, the flesh makes me uncomfortable. My flesh has made me about as uncomfortable as I can get. I'm about fed up with it. I don't know about you, but I'm about fed up with my flesh. And I got to do something with this thing. Hallelujah. Why? Because of the benefit of the Spirit. Because in the Spirit, I can do what cannot be done naturally. I can bring to pass what cannot be brought to pass naturally. I can bring it to pass. And so I want to go to that place. That's the law of the Spirit of life. It's in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life is this. All things are possible to him that believeth. You can do anything. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. That's good news to me. I want to live over in the law of the Spirit of life, not the law of sin and death. Well, you're just here, and this is just the way it is. No, I'm here. I'll tell you what. Jesus is coming for a glorious church. Listen, verse 12 here, Romans says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. We're not debtors to live according to the flesh, but we are debtors. You're in debt to live in the Spirit. You're in debt to God to live in the Spirit. All that he did for you and me, we owe a debt to walk in the Spirit. We owe a debt. We're debtors to that. If you want to live in this law of the Spirit of life, there's a debt to do it. You've got to work at this thing. There's a thing that we owe God. And we don't like to hear that because we like to, well, salvation's free and everything's given to us. And we're just on this little nice ride and we're on this little, just enjoying the ride along with the air blowing our face. And we're just having a good time here. Puking over the side every once in a while and, you know, playing our little religious games and stuff. There's a debtor. You're in debt to do this. It isn't something in the sideline you can get away with. You can just walk away from this thing. There's a debt. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you what, I've just decided this. There's things concerning my debt in this thing to live in the Spirit. I ain't been paying the price to go there sometimes. And that's got to change. And that has changed. And it will continue to change even more. You know, when I go out to Branson, I don't fly. You know one of the reasons I don't fly? Because I'm driving and I pray in tongues for hours and hours on end. When I get there, my God, am I ready. I ain't walking in the church last minute trying to get in there and get something and that. I'm ready. And when I come home, I'm doing the same things, praying in tongues, listening to the Word of God the whole time. Listening to 16 to 18 hours. Not listening to anybody else. Not on the phone. Not answering the phone. Don't look at my phone. Don't matter. If you died, well, you died, so go ahead and leave. I ain't got, you know. Well, what if you're dead? What good's going to be calling me about it? we're listed. Why? Getting something in me. Getting something in me. Getting something in me. It's taken in doing that. See, I've learned this over time. You get out there driving your car, you can close things off. You can decide what gets in and what don't. You have to find for yourself times like that. You have to find. If you don't, you're never going to spiritually really grow up much. You can't ever turn that phone off. You need to flush that sucker. It's stealing your spirituality. It's stealing it. What if my kids can't get a hold of me? Well, faithless. God can't take care of your kids unless you got a phone. I was born and raised, we didn't have a one of them. And we traveled and went places and nobody had them. And we made it. And our parents didn't wring their hands and act like a bunch of idiots. Well, what if something happens to the kid? They have to have their phone in school. What if they need me? Best thing that ever happened that they wouldn't get you. That would be the nicest thing that ever happened. Somebody else might get to do something in their life to straighten them out. Okay, let's get back over here, middle on this. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 13. We'll read this. We'll go on. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. For as many as what are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. You know, we understand this, and Scripture tells us, you're born again, you're a child of God, but you will never live sonship except to be led by the Spirit. You will never, I don't care if you are a child of God. You know, one of the things that always cracked me up was, people would do this to witness to people to get them saved. And they would say this, you need a personal relationship with Jesus. It's like getting saved was going to do that. You don't get a personal relationship getting saved. Well, I know that's true because most Christians ain't got a personal relationship with Jesus. Getting born again don't give you a personal relationship. It don't mean, you know, my words, you know, that's like, you know, if I just got married, then married Wanda, if I'll marry her, then we'll have a personal relationship. No, that stuff's built. You got to do something about that to have a personal relationship. God's a Spirit. If you want a relationship with Him, there's only one way you can get it, is you get in the Spirit. He ain't getting in the flesh. There is only one way to do it. You getting in the Spirit. He will not get in the flesh with you. That's the only way you do it. There ain't no other way to do it. That's why the Lord said to me, if you can't be led by the Spirit, you'll never amount to anything in the Christian. Why? If I don't learn to listen spiritually and hook up over in the other spirit, if I don't do that, I can't commune with Him. I can't hook up with that blessing. I can't hook up with the supernatural. Why? Because that's in the realm of the Spirit. It's not in the realm of the natural. It manifests itself over there, but that's not where you turn the key. That's not where the explosion takes place. That's not the place where the power changes things. The power is in the realm of the Spirit. It's not in the physical. Divine healing is not in the physical. And to get it, you can't get it in the physical. It's gotten in the spirit. It will manifest. Faith is really the igniter of the power of God. That's what it is. It sets it off. The power of God. Right here today, the power of God's present to heal. Well, do you feel it? I don't. I don't feel no power to heal, but it's here. It's present. In the Bible, you know, they brought the guy down and he went up the roof and tore the roof off and all that stuff. It says this, the power of God, and Luke says, the power of God was present to heal. You know what? Nobody got healed but that one person. The power of God was there to heal them all, it says. It was there to heal them. Why? Because there's only one group used faith. The rest of them didn't. And the power did nothing. I don't care how much power is available. There's only one way. It's just like there's a switch here to turn the lights on. I don't care how much power is in that switch. If that switch don't get turned, the lights stay out in here. It doesn't work by the amount of power. It works by the switch. And faith is a switch of the Spirit. Faith is not of the things seen, it's the unseen. But this is where people have trouble. Because why? Most people call themselves faith people, but they only do what they can see and feel. They won't act like the unseen's real. Hallelujah. They won't act like it's true. See, that's one thing. I had my wife to stand. She's standing faith with me this week. Why? Because she could see all the things in the natural that didn't look good, and she wasn't moved by it. Hallelujah! Looking for somebody like that. That is extraordinary. Most people that say they believe God can't do that. Everything that happens in the natural just moves them and whatever else it does. Everything in the natural. She wasn't being unloving or uncaring. She was being smart. Hallelujah. She's standing in faith. She don't need somebody. I don't need somebody whining over me, and she don't need to be doing that. If we believe God's doing something, we ought to act like it's true. Hallelujah. Don't send me 10 flowers. I ain't dead. Dear God. Hallelujah. Trying to kill somebody, find somebody else. Hallelujah. I tell you, we need to hook up with life. Glory to God. Ah, the man's crazy. Let him alone. Hallelujah. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now I want to share you some things, because we want to take communion here. Concerning this Spirit that lives in us, one of the things we need to understand, some things about what the Scripture tells us concerning healing, to understand where healing is at. Let me just say this. Do any of you know why the Pharisees and stuff and the leaders did not allow healing on the Sabbath day? See, most people don't know why. Now today we have the same problem. We don't operate it in the same way, but we have the same problem in the church. You see, they relegated healing to the natural. And so what it was you had the Sabbath is a holy day. Healing is a secular thing. So you don't do secular things on the Sabbath day, because the Sabbath day is a holy day. We've done the same thing. The church today relegates healing, even divine healing, is relegated to the natural. We've taken what doctors do and what God does, and we've jumbled it all together and made it into something, and we have our little thing that we do. We don't relegate it to understand. We're dealing over here with one thing is supernatural, and the other one has to do with the natural. Now, I want you to understand this. I'm not against doctors at all. There are natural things that can be done, but you cannot get supernatural over here putting your time into to the natural things. You ain't getting the supernatural. It ain't happening. You know, I've learned this over the years. When the Lord told Kenneth Hagin, he said, you pray for people, go to a doctor, pray for them to have a quick recovery. For them to have a quick recovery, they're going to have to believe certain supernatural things for that to happen. If they don't believe those supernatural things, it ain't going to take place. It ain't going to take place because you want it. You know, Wanda and I learned it over time, putting that into practice of, you know, of not having to take pain medication and stuff. And Wanda, you know, I remember the first time she had a foot operation, So we got over and believed she was having the operation and she wasn't going to have pain. Now it was hard for the doctor to understand she didn't have pain. But she went back for her visit not having pain. He just figured she ought to have pain. Why? Because everybody else does. All the rest of Christians do. If you want to attain to something that's supernatural, you're going to have to believe into the realm of the supernatural to get it. You can't. This is why I see people all the time. Christians go to the doctors and they get no better than the world gets. That's not to be, folks. That should never be. It should never take you as long to recover as a sinner. It should never happen. Now I'm saying this because why? You need to understand this. There's no faith in operation. I don't care what you say there is. You need to understand. If you can't measure these things, you'll never change or be able to step over into the supernatural. You got to be able to do it. And you got to stop and say, you know, I've had to ready to stop and say, you know what? My faith wasn't working in that area. Nothing changed. It stayed. So you have to stop. Okay, where'd I miss it? You know? And people say, well, we prayed and I really felt good about it. Feeling good about praying don't mean you got a thing. It's about results. Ain't about your dumb feelings. I feel like God heard us. I feel like God. What in the earth does that mean? I don't need a feeling to have God hear me. I just need to be in line with the Word and believe it. I feel like God heard us. Yes. You listen to this nonsense and people think it has some kind of spiritual meaning to it. You know, we relegate a lot of things today. You know, people have this stuff. You know, if they see something or they, you know, I got telling about a person who, they saw an eagle fly by and he said, oh, that was a sign from God for this and that. And he said, no, it ain't nothing but an eagle was flying by. You know, people do this stuff. They look for natural things. As many as are led by eagles, they are the sons of God. Or they saw this, or you know, there was a deer started out in the road and he turned and went back. That means God was, and it's like, okay, let's slap them now and, you know, wake them up. But people need natural things. They're always looking for natural things for their verifications of truth. It's not what we're doing. See, we're living out here in space land, folks. We're living in space land. That's right. I mean, there's a lot of people from different planets. They're out here all the time. The churches are full of them. The churches are full of people from another planet because Christianity is nuts today in its beliefs. It is full of every crazy thing you can think of. It's filled with. It's filled with every crazy thing you can think of. Looking at natural things, and that's God talking. It's not God talking. Looking for the natural. You need to understand, we look at the Old Testament things that God did for them in the natural. They didn't have the Spirit of God. They couldn't be led by the Spirit. You and I have the safety of being led by the Spirit. That's your safety. The devil can't move into your spirit. He can't come and get into it. It ain't his. You don't belong to him. Your safety is to hear from the Spirit of God, not something on the outside. That's your safety, folks. The safest thing that you can do is listen on the inner man, because the devil can't do it. He can come knocking on your flesh. He can do all kind of things, knock on your mind. He can do that, but your spirit don't belong to him. It's not his. The Holy Ghost lives in his spirit. Ain't got no room for the devil in there. There ain't no room for the devil in there, because the Holy Ghost done moved in. That's your safety. We have what they didn't have in the Old Testament. They didn't have what we got. Man, we got the treasure in an earthen vessel. Glory to God. We got the treasure, people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Now, I'm just going to show you with you some things in Scripture. First of all, I want to read over here to you into Matthew. Because I want to read Scripture. I want you to see something which is equated here. In Matthew in 8 and verse 17. Now, these Scriptures here. Well, I'm going to read... up ahead in verse 16. It says, when evening had come, he says, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. In other words, look, we have here, we're having Matthew telling us that Isaiah 53 is now fulfilled. It's fulfilled. So, get a hold of that. Now listen, if we back up, which you've all heard already in that stuff, we back up to 1 Peter. To 1 Peter. Now I want you to see this. Here we have Isaiah says concerning the healing of these people, this healing that Jesus, what did he do? He bore our sicknesses. Now, listen here what Peter makes a statement in 1 Peter 2:24. He says, who himself bore our sins in his own body. Now over there we have, what did he do? Over here he had borne our sicknesses, didn't he? He bore them. Now here we have again. Now here Peter says, look, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we having died to sins might live to righteousness. Then he said, what? By whose stripes we were healed. In other words, we're going to find out that Isaiah's prophecy spoke to the future, but he said, by his stripes you were. Now I want you to understand this. You were healed. But I want you to listen to this. He just equated the taking of men's sin and healing on the same thing. He took your sin, and what did he do? What took place in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus? See, when these people say, well, the most important thing is getting your sins taken. No, that's saying, you know what? We're going to take 10% of what Jesus did for us because I feel this is the most important. And we're going to let the other 90% dump. And that's the church. There's the church world. They done dumped 90% of what God did for us and to take 10% and think they got a treasure. Me living in sin, would that be all right? Why? Because it's unholy. Well, if sickness and disease were put into the same redemption at the same place, what would being sick? Is being sick okay? See, you have to decide that. See, if you want to live on that level, it's not. When you decide, look, now listen, this is not condemnation to you. This is God's view. God says sickness ain't good for you. You shouldn't have it. Just like he don't want you to have sin, he don't want you to have sickness. It's identical. It's the same. It changes not. It's the same redemption. Let me say this to you. The Bible tells us we're redeemed from the curse of the law. In other words, our redemption redeemed us from everything that was under the curse of the law. In other words, when Jesus took my sin, everything that was under the curse of the law was removed from me because of that. On the level of sin, in other words, all that stuff the curse brought is on the same level as the removal of my sin. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. In other words, you know, to be poverty is a sin. Do you know that? Poverty is a sin. Poverty is under the curse of the law. It ain't good. It's sin. Anything that is under the curse, and go read it. There's enough verses on it of all the bad stuff, and it says, then it tells you any disease that ain't listed. In other words, it is no good, it is sin. Why? It falls under the same class as sin. It's under the same thing. That's the same redemption. There's not two redemptions. There isn't a redemption for healing and a redemption for you to get born again. Well, that's what we have in the church world today. Do you know why? Because we've made sickness a thing where we don't realize. Being healed is a holy. It's holy to be healed. It's holy. Just as sin. This is one of the things. See, if we go back and look at the Pharisees, see, they had a holy day. You couldn't bring healing to it because healing wasn't holy. Healing is holy. It's in the redemption. It's holy. It's unholy. It's unsanctified not to get healed. Because sickness and disease, the healing of it is holy to God. It's holy to Him. Can you see that? It's holy. Jesus died for this thing, man. Jesus went to the cross. Poverty and all the dust. This is a holy thing to God. You're sanctified. Holy, we need to understand that. Healing is a sanctified thing. It's set apart. You were set apart for health, soundness of mind, for wealth and whatever else. You were set apart for these. We were redeemed from the curse. We're set apart to have this stuff. It's absolutely for us. It's holy. It's unholy not to have it. If it isn't unholy to have it, then the curse is all right. Then the curse is good. How many believe that? Is the curse good? Oh, wow, let's have the curse. Why? Because it's unholy. It doesn't fit. What? We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. It's to us holy folk. It's to us holy folk that this holy thing belongs to. It belongs to you because you're holy. This is made specifically for you. Hallelujah. It's made for all mankind, anybody will receive it. But it's all in redemption. See, when sickness comes, we should get as mad about sickness as you do about any sin or anything else. Oh, today in the church world, they're worried about the homosexual and we'll just eat sickness like it's just candy. We'll take it and act like it's wonderful. It's all right. We won't stop and say, hey, you know what? Shouldn't have that either. No, we justify it. Why? Because we've secularized it. We've secularized it. We put it over here in this other place and made that's just part of this natural. You're here. I don't know how many Christians have said, and I've heard ministers say, well, you're just going to get sick. Well, don't they preach you're just going to sin? They've even secularized it. They have turned and made a lifestyle of sin. And that's why the church don't have healing today going on in it, is because most Christians are believing to get sick. They have faith. They're trying to have faith to get healed, yet their faith is to be sick, yet their faith is to sin. You see how it gets so perverted? It gets so darn perverted. Because we don't put the things in the class. I'm going to tell you what, when you carry it over here and begin to look at this, if you look at Jesus today, if anything, Jesus wants you well. He's 100% behind it for you to be well. He's in it more than you are. He's more interested in your health than you are. And you need to come to that. See, you want to have faith for healing. You need the supernatural, and you need supernatural. Why? Because in the natural, things are messed up. The body's dead in sin, so it needs something supernatural to help it so it can have health and soundness. And he put the Holy Ghost in you. Oh, my God. Woo! It needs something supernatural. So what did he do? He dumped that thing in you immediately when you got saved. And you know what? The church has been living like he ain't there, wondering why things ain't going on. When all the time, the healer's been in the house. Woo! The doctor's in! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Oh, my. Well, that's good preaching, anyhow. I don't know about you, but it made me happy. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Now I'm going to run over here to Isaiah. I'm going to go over here because I want to talk to you about Isaiah a little bit here. Now, the King James, the New King James versions and stuff are not correct concerning Isaiah 53. In fact, I found it interesting. I don't know what the guy's name is. There's a Jewish rabbi who, his translation from the Hebrew to the English, which is used by the Orthodox Jews who are English or read English. His is like this doctor who, his is considered the main version to follow. But anyhow, we read here in this in Isaiah 53, if I go down to verse 4, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. If you read his translation says, surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. Actually, that's a correct translation. If you look up the Hebrew, that's what these words mean. They put down their sorrows. I really thought, I have the New King James and I just think are downright stupid. They had the opportunity to put it, and they just went right along. Because why? I know why they did it. Because they don't believe in divine healing anymore. You know, that left when the prophet, you need to understand, a lot of translations go by whoever translates it according to their beliefs. And anyhow, surely he has borne our sicknesses. It must say that, or how did Matthew make the statement about Isaiah's fulfillment saying he bore our sicknesses if it didn't say that? Did Matthew lie? When Matthew's translation went from the Greek to the, which he wrote it in Greek he wrote it over there, he bore our sicknesses. Now, did Peter miss it too? See, Isaiah is writing about health here. It's about hell. And this is nutty Christian. Well, he's just talking about spiritual things. Yes, he is, you knuckleheads, but you don't even know what he's talking about. Sure, he's talking about spiritual things. He's talking about spiritual power, getting a hold of it. Jesus took our sicknesses. He didn't take them physically. He took them in his spirit. If it wasn't dealt with spiritually, nothing happened. It isn't what Jesus physically happened on the cross that saved you. Get over it, people. It's his spiritual death is what saved you. It's him dying spiritually and receiving the punishment in hell for your sin, my sickness, and everything else. What happened on the outside is just a picture, and it ain't even close to what took place on the inside. The Bible says that Jesus, he went with joy to the cross. Well, I know he didn't just go to joy with taking our sins, because in the garden he had a hard time with that. He didn't go with joy. See, compared to what was happening, it wasn't the cross he was worried about getting to, people. That is, religion teaches that nonsense. He was trying to deal with what was going to happen to him spiritually. He was going to become spiritually dead with all the sin of humanity and have to pay the price for that. He didn't pay the price on the cross. He paid the price down in the pit of hell so Ed Gibson don't go to hell. Hallelujah. If he didn't pay the price about hell, we're all gone there. See, we need to get ourselves over in line with some spiritual thinking instead of all this natural Christianity. You know, let's carry a cross around. That'll sure get him, I'll tell you. Maybe get some garlic and a cross and we'll chase the devil off. My God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus did. Surely he bore our sicknesses. He carried our pains. Yet we esteemed him, or what they considered him, or they reckoned him as afflicted. By smitten by God and afflicted, that God did us. But he was wounded for your transgression. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Now here he made a statement. He said, we're healed. When this takes place, he said, we are healed. He's speaking toward the future. We already read over there, Peter said, we were healed. We were. You were redeemed from the curse of the law. You were. You're not going to be. You haven't been going to be redeemed from sickness and disease. You have already been redeemed from sickness and disease. That's already taken place. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is right now inside of each one of us here. We're born again. This Holy Spirit is in. And he's in there for this purpose, Paul wrote, to quicken and make alive your mortal body. To make your mortal body alive. To bring life. This body that is dead because of sin, God did something about it. Hallelujah. That because it's dead in sin, it doesn't have to keep going over there where sin can dominate it. This is not only just for healing. If you learn around to yield the Spirit within you, you can bring your flesh under control to not do things it wants to do. It can be, well, you know, your flesh wants to be sick. It's its nature to be stupid. Did you know that? Anything that belongs to death will do dumb. But we spend too much time cooperating with it. We spend too much time cooperating with death. We spend too much of our society. There's too much death in the church. And our thinking. Too much death. Instead of thinking life. We're focused on the problems. We don't think about I am healed. We're just trying to get it. We're trying to get something for God. We're trying to get a hold of something. We've been redeemed from the curse. I've been redeemed from poverty. You know, revelations you need is to know, is trying to get something. You got to come to the place first to believe you got something, not you're trying to get something. Faith is believing you have something. Jesus said it himself. Mark 11:24. Whatever thing you desire when you pray, what do? You believe you receive it. You believe you got something, not trying to get something. It didn't surprise me that I was alive in the hospital. It'd have been surprised me if I'd have woke up in heaven. I'll tell you, that was a surprise to me. I wasn't going there to die. That never entered my mind. No matter how bad the pain was, I never thought, hey, dying. I'm talking life on the inside. My outside's yelling, saying, oh my God, do something. Oh my God, your outer man screaming, yelling. You got to listen on the inside. The inside man, he ain't afraid. He ain't got no fear in him. He ain't worried about a thing. Same spirit raised Jesus from the dead in there ain't going, boo, trying to scare me. He's in there quickening to make me alive. What he wants to do is do something that brings life. That's what he wants to do. He wants me to get to me to respond by faith. Why? Because if I will respond by faith, the switch gets flipped. And if it does, then life can start working. That's why you don't want to go into hospitals talking all the dumb nonsense. People come in, they want to know all the details of everything that is wrong. They don't want to hear your testimony about what God's doing for you. Most Christians don't want to hear your testimony. I had a relative, text me about, oh, I heard you have this problem. And so I just turned around and texted back, gave him a testimony. And you know what I got back? Text? Okay. In other words, it meant like, oh, that was nice, but, no, you're weird. And they're supposed to be a spirit-filled Christian, but I know that the spirit they got. Anyhow. And I knew that. I knew when I'd send it back because I intentionally send it back because I ain't sitting there telling them a bunch of nonsense they want to hear. They need to start acting like Christians. They don't act like Christians. All they want to hear is bad news. More interested in the bad news than the good news. Don't tell me a miracle. Tell me how bad it was. Hallelujah. Been there already? Have you ever been around that? Oh, people love to hear the bad stuff. Tell me the bad stuff. Tell me the bad stuff. That's part of the nature of death. That's the part of sin and death when people have a desire to know what's bad. That's the law of sin and death. The flesh is inclined to that. If you don't let life work in it, it'll naturally move over to that and want to hear the bad news. Oh, yeah. Tell me the bad story. Tell me how bad it was. Hallelujah. Folks, it's good preaching. And see, we know that we're yielded. There's two laws out here that are running. We're gonna hook to one of them. We're gonna hook to one. But if we will hook to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it'll revolutionize your life. It'll change your life so much. Hallelujah. Quit trying to get stuff from God. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. He is on your side to have every blessing that there is. He's already worked the whole thing out so you can have them. He's already done it. Hallelujah. We turn around. What's communion? We take communion here today. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. What'd he do for us here? I keep getting these things in the mail. What they want to do is come and they want to do the Passover, We need to go over and do the Passover. The Passover is talking about what wasn't done. Did Jesus say we're supposed to keep the Passover? He gave them two elements to remind us of him and not the Passover. And everybody was, let's do the Passover. Oh, we'll have it. Why? Everybody likes the little fleshly gimmicks. The Passover was about flesh. That's what it was. It wasn't spiritual. It wasn't spiritual. It was things to try to explain to spiritually dead people what God was going to try to do. If you need to understand the Passover to understand what God is, you need another dip. Paul, do we have it in writings that he's trying to explain the Passover to the Gentiles to try to get them to understand about Christ? Oh, the knucklehead church today. If I can get you far enough back in the law, you'll really get spiritual. See, I get meddling about a lot of stuff. Because I watch and I've watched what it's done over time in people trying to get to spirituality through the flesh. Hallelujah. I learned to be led by the Spirit, not by practicing things of the law. I didn't have to express, certain holy days. Trying to find out how they did it. They were all, the Bible says, shadows. Why would you practice the shadow when we got the real thing and his name's Jesus? Spend our time trying to learn shadow and don't know Jesus Christ. Don't know that the Redeemer already set me free from sickness and disease. Don't even know that God's already made me rich. Hallelujah. He became poor that I might be rich. Glory to God. No. Let's go over under the law. Let's go spend our time studying over there. Dear God, there's things you can learn over there, but I'm with you. That ain't my place to study. Glory to God. I want to know Jesus. I want to know the one who redeemed me. I want to be able to listen to Him. I want the Holy Ghost to be able to take the things that belongs to Jesus and show it to me, not to something that belongs to somebody else. Thank God for what Israel did. I ain't going through the same land they went through. Hallelujah. I've entered a land that is better than their land. I entered the land of the Spirit, the place of glory that God intended for me to walk in. That from the time of beginning, when He created man in the earth, was the day that we would walk in the land of the Spirit, where we would take our place of authority in this earth over the devil and everything that he's doing, and we would walk in the glory that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. I'm already in the land. I'm not waiting to get to a land. I'm already in the kingdom of God. All they got was some land marked out for them. That's all they got. I'm in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I'm a member of the kingdom. I'm a king in the kingdom. I'm a priest in the kingdom. Hallelujah. I'm in the holy nation. I got a city God made just for me. It's called the New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. They aren't things that we'll have. That's real today. I have it now. It's mine. I'm in this earth temporarily. And I will determine when I leave, not some doctor, not some sickness, not some stuff. I'll determine that. Hallelujah. It'll be the day that me and the Lord get together on that deal. Hallelujah. It's time. It's time to stand up. It's time to be the redeemed. It's time to be the redeemed. That's what these elements are about. You're the redeemed. You're the one that has been identified in that body. Hallelujah. You, it's as if you were died with Him. It's as if you went to hell and paid for the price for that sin. It's as if you were raised from the death, dead with Him. All humanity is in it. How terrible it is that people in hell today, they're in hell. And Jesus had paid the penalty for all that, but they wouldn't receive it. How terrible. How horrible. But we received it. Hallelujah. And when we received Him, I already, in it is every benefit of the promise. I don't have to earn a one of them. All I have to know is I have to gain knowledge of what He redeemed me from and redeemed me to. And you know what? If I'm redeemed from the curse of the law, there's only one thing. Then I'm over, I'm the head, not the tail, above, not beneath. I'm blessed coming in, going out. I'm blessed in the fruit of my body. I'm blessed in my basket. In other words, everything I do, I'm blessed. Anything around me gets blessed. Glory to God. That's what I got, because there is no curse on me. There is no curse on you. That don't mean curse won't come on you if you don't live and start walking like there's no curse on you, and you keep saying, well, we're just here and things just happen. No, curse don't just happen. The Bible says this, curse don't come without a cause. Hallelujah. We bring curse to a stop. It ain't mine. I didn't have to discuss with God if He wanted me well. Dear Lord, that's been settled a long time ago. That was just Abraham's blessings, mine. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. I don't say, well, God, maybe you're trying to teach me something here. Say, well, man, I ain't learning it, so let's get over this thing, Lord. You must have some kind of problem between your ears. You know, me over here howling in pain. Boy, I'm really learning a good lesson out of this. I'm learning this lesson. I don't like pain! That was the lesson. Glory to God. And I knew that one before that ever happened. You know what I learned through this? The Word works! God's who He said He was. He redeemed me from the curse. Being redeemed from the curse means redeemed from premature death. That's under the curse. You're going to die before your time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I ain't died before my time. Woo! Hallelujah. My God. They want to put me back in the hospital. Unless He's crazy now. They'll take me out to Phil Haven. No. Lock that man up. Wasn't nothing wrong with his heart. It was his head the whole time. Woo! He's crazy. He's crazy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I expect the Word to work because it is the Word of God. Hallelujah. And you're God's redeemed people today. And we take communion. See, believe what we're taking. This ain't some religious thing that we do. This is about our faith. This is about our health. This is about our soundness. Hallelujah. We take communion. Why? Because curse don't belong to us. Hallelujah. I got Jesus in the place of curse. Jesus gave me the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He said, Father, give that man the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And he did. And he said the same for you. And you got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You got the same Spirit living inside of you. Health is living in you. Soundness is living inside of you. It is a person of the Godhead. It is a person of the Godhead living inside of you. We're not reaching out there to get healed. Healing's inside of us. Healing lives in, redemption lives in you. The God of redemption done moved in. Can it get any better, folks? Can it get any better? He's in you today. You don't just sit and question. Don't. There's just too many questions in people's mind. And it's been answered so simply from the Scripture. But religion keeps clouding it and putting all this stuff out there and trying to take the natural and drag it in. You know, eat enough, you know, chicken without, you know, antibiotics, and it's going to fix your health up. And what happens? People get healed? No. Don't get healed. Because why? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Because there's a law of spiritual death that works. And chicken can't hold it off. I'm just telling you. It's the way it is. Anything from you get your... Look, there might be things that turn around ain't good for a person to eat. But that isn't what the real problem is we're dealing with. Because even if I eat everything right, the law of sin and death is still after me, trying to chase me down. Because why? You can't do everything right. That's why we live by faith. We live by the one who did everything right. I got healed by the one who did everything right. I didn't get healed by Ed Gibson. I didn't get healed by the right diet. I didn't get healed. I got healed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's the healer. And he sent the Holy Ghost to put that life. And that life's in there, the Holy Spirit. And he takes what belongs to Jesus and reveals it to us. Woo-wee! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, when I was sitting on that table and I kept saying, Holy Spirit, I want to thank you for comforting me. And I'll tell you, comfort just started coming over me. Why? See, God put him in there for that purpose. Jesus asked him, sent him comfort. I said, man, I need comfort. And I said, you're the comforter, so you'll comfort me, and I want to thank you. And he started comforting me there. He started comforting me. And then he spoke to me and said to me, don't be concerned about anything. Everything's all right. It's okay. Hallelujah. Why? See, he's the same one that raised Jesus from the dead. There was resurrection. I want to think you to think about this. How could you lack for healing power in you if the same Spirit that raised a body from spiritual death? See, we always take a look at Jesus' physical body being raised as a big deal. That ain't what the big deal was. The big deal was his Spirit going from spiritual death to spiritual life. The miracle in you is when you became a new creation. That's the miracle in you. You still got that stupid, dumb body you had before you got saved. Don't you? You went and looked in the mirror and said, gee, it's still ugly. Huh? Wonder what happened there. So, you know, you got the same thing. Why? What is it? It's when they took a... Now, if that power is in you, is inside of you, that can take a spiritual being who is spiritually dead in sin and turn it into a glorious child of God, what do you think I could do to a stupid body? If it would do that to a human spirit, what would it do to a physical body? Well, healing a physical body is a nothing. That's a zero. It don't take nothing to get healed. It don't take anything. My God, that same Spirit, Holy Ghost, caused you to be born again, made you a child of the devil, turned into a child of God like that. Hallelujah. Your body's a piece of cake to deal with. Your body ain't some hard thing. It's not hard. See, you gotta change your thinking. See? We put it over there, you know? Then we take it, haul our things over there. See, then we drag the doctor. Well, what's the doctor said about it? I don't even care what the doctor, you know, I was here at the doctors. I let them do their thing. But I didn't believe their thing. I believed my thing. The thing that I was taught. That's what I was believing in. I'd smile at them and say, yeah, okay, all right. Yeah. I don't have to believe what they say. I have a choice. I didn't say, oh, honey, they want to keep me here for a week. Ah, they don't know what to do. You know, they said this or they said that. But you know, you have a choice. What are you going to believe? Yeah, I just can't wait to tell some other of my friends about this. I hope somebody calls so I can let them know. I'll tell you what it is. Hallelujah. My God, I even knew how to turn off the phone in the hospital, man. I just... See, I didn't call to worry anybody because I didn't want nobody to get worried. I wouldn't. I don't want to start praying for me. Like, you know, something bad, like I ain't going to make it or something. Now, the most thing I do is call and say, hey, would you just thank God, praise God, I'm doing great. Now, you call somebody and say that, and they'll think you're crazy. No, tell me a sad story so I can pray like you're in trouble. I wasn't in trouble. Hallelujah. I was doing good. Poor doctors were in trouble. They couldn't figure out. What do you want to do? Well, I'm not asking for an operation, okay? I'm just... Hallelujah! Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I don't know if they want to bring them up for communion. They'd like to. Well, they can. You can go ahead and bring them up for communion. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We went long. But I tell you, I hope you got a hold of the revelation concerning healing. Getting a hold of this thing. Getting out of the grip of the secular. Getting it, you got to get it out. You got to get divine healing out of this grip of the secular and bring it over to the glory that is. Hallelujah. To what is really in you. You got to hook up with it. You got to expect. You need to expect something supernatural to take place. You can't get that from the doctors. Thank God for it. You know, I was really grateful they were able to help me with the pain. They were able to help me with the pain. I was very grateful that they were able to do that. That was nice. But that isn't what got me healed. It got me nothing. It got me feeling better with the still having a blood clot in my lung. And they're saying, well, we can't do anything about that. Thank God they were able to help me. I think the doctors and nurses that I had during the time I was there, from the ER to up in the room, very, very nice, proficient people, very good at what they were doing. I believe they really sincerely, all their best they were trying to do to work with me to help things. I believe that. I mean, they were very, very nice folks. And I'm very thankful for them. And I told them how much I appreciate what they had done for me and their help. I just really appreciated. I thought they did a very good job. And I mean, I complimented the nurses and the people. And I just really appreciate what they were able to do. But now I did spend a lot more time thanking God. Because he did do better. So it was reasonable to spend lots of time praising and thanking God. And that's mostly what I did while I was in the hospital, is I was spending time praising and thanking. I just thank you, Lord God. God, just excited. The word works. Hallelujah. Another time. Time again. It works. Proof out again. It works. It works. The word of God's working and keeping us alive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, communion is not in itself going to give you healing. It reminds you of what you already have. It reminds you of what you got. You have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Abraham's blessing is upon you. This is very interesting because Brother Hagin used to bring out, he said, isn't it interesting? He said, you know, the first blessing of Abraham was prosperity. You know, Christianity don't preach the Bible because it throws all the religious ideas. It really messes it up for them. But you need to get the idea. You need to come to the place to understand that your health and healing is as important to God as your salvation. It is exactly as important to God as your salvation. Because why? It was in it. Your redemption, your prosperity is as important to God as your salvation. You're getting born again. Why? Because it was in redemption. You were redeemed. Your redemption redeemed you from the curse and moved you to the blessing. Therefore, everything that's in the blessing is in your redemption. And to take one portion of it and say, this is the all, but this is the most important, this is what you just said, I'm going to minimize the rest of it, and I'm going to have less of it than God wants me to have. Don't you do that. Don't you do that. Stop that right now. That is what's hurt Christianity. That's what's kept Christians sick, kept Christians messed up, because we've secularized those things of healing and finances and we put them out there as if there's some kind of unholiness to it. They're holy. And they must be holy to God because He put them in the redemption which is holy. Being redeemed from the curse of the law is a holy thing. When we take these, people say, oh, taking these elements, they're so holy. Well, what do these holy elements represent? Well, they say, it represents Jesus. Jesus what? Just saying, oh, remember the guy. Hey! It's what He did. He redeemed you from the curse. Hallelujah. He blessed you in every possible way that you could get blessed. That's why when Paul wrote and said in Ephesians, He's blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, we never took healing was a spiritual blessing. We never took prosperity was a spiritual. No, we secularized it, put it over here in the area of the natural. And we became like the Pharisees and said, you know, when we're dealing with holy things, we don't heal on the Sabbath because the Sabbath's a holy day and that's secular. You don't bring that over here. So when we're dealing with forgiveness of sin, we can't bring those things in here because they're unholy. And I'm just telling you today, the church lives unholy because we've considered things unholy God considers holy. My health's a holy thing. Your health is a holy thing. It was done in holiness to a people who are holy. A people set apart by God Himself. And He gave it to them. And we've set it outside like it is something secondary. Like it is something just to be had on the sideline. We've set prosperity. We set sound mind and whatever else you could possibly think of. Set them all out there. Oh, like it'd be something nice if we could get it. You know, it'd be really nice. And in doing so, we threw faith right out the window. And then we came and trying to believe God for something that we really don't believe is holy and are not sure if we ought to have it. Maybe we shouldn't. Oh, it's not as important as your salvation. Why? It was in my salvation. Which one did you get? It was in mine. And it's in yours. Hallelujah, Father. Father, as we come today to this table, Lord God, forgive the Church of Jesus Christ for our foolishness. Forgive us, Lord God, for not honoring the work of our wonderful Master and Savior as we should have. Lord God, we come today and I want to thank You. Lord, You didn't say anything of these things to shame anyone, but to open and bring light, Lord God. Light today to where darkness has dominated and ruled Your people. Because, Lord God, Your people are people of light and life. Lord God, You told me to pray till the light shines through and comes through the darkness. And, Lord God, I want to thank You, the light shining through the darkness. Hallelujah. The light is dawning upon hearts, Lord God. Lord God, that healing is just as natural. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is right now in us. And His whole design is to quicken, make alive our immortal bodies. I thank You. Healing is working in everyone today. Healing is working mightily in the name of Jesus. Health and soundness, hallelujah, are ours. And Lord God, as we take these communion elements, they're no more than a reinforcement, Lord God, of what we believe is true, hallelujah. We're redeemed from the curse. Jesus did it all, hallelujah, through His death, burial, and resurrection. He redeemed us. And Father God, we thank You. God came in the flesh, hallelujah, to redeem men, Lord God, who were bound in the Spirit. And I thank You. He did it. He carried out the work. And through His precious blood, the price is paid. We're redeemed forever. Hallelujah, Lord God. Lord God, the price is paid in full. Hallelujah. Lord God, my new birth is paid in full. My health is paid in full. Hallelujah. My finances are paid in full. Lord God, everything, my sound mind is paid in full. We're not trying to earn it. Hallelujah. It's already been paid for. It belongs to us. And we thank You, Father, for it today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. It prayed me happy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We'll go ahead and take the elements.